First of all, what does Hanukkah have to do with music? Why do we have a guitar out there? There's two mitzvahs on Hanukkah. Hallel and Hoda'ah. Okay? Hoda'ah means thanks. We express thanks to Hashem for the miracles He did. When do we do that? When we light the candles. There's another aspect, and that's called?
Hallel.
Singing. Right? When do we express thanks to Hashem through singing? When we say Hallel. There's a mitzvah all 8 days of Hanukkah. You might say a full bracha of Hallel. Now you might think, okay, those are two nice mitzvahs, but there's no connection. But the truth is, says Rav Shlomo Carlebach, there's a deep, deep connection between the two concepts. Like we were actually saying, that just like light brings a certain degree of spirituality, lights up our lives, so the music brings a beautiful sound to the darkness. Darkness to light and silence to music. Rav Shlomo says even deeper. Because when Hashem created the world, He said, Vayihi Or, right? Wrong. He didn't say Vayihi Or. He sang. Vayihi Or. He sang the world into existence. And if you're not listening well, then you won't be able to hear it. But if you listen very well, especially on Hanukkah, you can hear Hashem still singing the world into existence. In other words, what Rav Shlomo is trying to say is that there's the world and then there's our attitude towards the world, our attitude towards life, and that's music. Music doesn't change anything physically. The music changed the way that we view things. If we view it in a positive light, with a song, with a smile, with a dance, or if we just go through the motions. And Hanukkah is reminding us to sing our life into existence, to sing through life. Okay? Now, I asked you a different question. I'm going to try to connect them all. I asked you a question, which is, it's great that Hashem saved us on Hanukkah, right? It was an awesome miracle. But what about all those other times in Jewish history when Hashem didn't save us? Okay? That's the question. When we lost the wars. And you gave good answers. I'm not dissing on them. But this is what I heard. And this is the answer I really like from Rabbi Forman. The lesson of Hanukkah is not that we always win the wars. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But the lesson of Hanukkah was that in our darkest times, in the darkest time of Jewish history, when God stopped speaking to us in an open way, He's still there for us. He's still there watching over us. And Hanukkah was just a sign to remind us for all those generations that He's still there holding our hands. Even in the darkest times, He's always there with us. There's going to be times when we're going to lose the wars, and for whatever reason, God decides to say no to our prayers. But even when He says no to our prayers, if we know that He's still there holding our hand, then we can get through those tough times. But if you don't have a God in your life to hold His hand, then it's a lot darker, sadder, less musical life to live. Right? But if you know that Hashem is with you, even during those dark times, He's there with you, then you can get through those dark times. I wanted to connect this to another story. Actually, we're in the Parsha. So in the Parsha, Yosef gets sold by his brothers, right? Now Rashi is a fascinating comment. The Torah describes how there was these spices that he was smelling, right, as he went down to Egypt after he got sold. Normally the Ishmaelites who sold him would have like oil, bad smelling, but instead God made a miracle and made it nice smelling stuff so that when he was being sold down, he would have nice smelling stuff. So the obvious question on Rashi is, wait a second, Yosef HaTzadik just got his worst day ever. Can you imagine, like, your brothers just sold you? Like, you just got sold into slavery. Who cares that it smells nice? Like, if there's a God out there, why couldn't He just, like, save me? Like, what's the point of nice-smelling stuff on my way down from slavery? Like, what is that all about? But based on the introduction I just gave you guys, what's the idea? What's the idea of the spices on our way down to Egypt?
Even though God wasn't with Joseph directly, like He was still looking at
him. Exactly. Even though, no, it's not that God wasn't with him. God was with him. Apparently God had to say, the answer is no. Life's going to stink right now. It's going to be tough. And that happens in life, right? Life is not so good. But even then, Hashem was still sending him a wink and saying, I'm still with you. I'm with you. Right? And that's such a beautiful lesson. That's the lesson of Hanukkah. That no matter what happens, He's still with us. And maybe it could even be in your own life. There'll be times, I know I've experienced this, when things aren't good, but you still feel like He's still with you. You know, maybe even sometimes the times I felt closest with Hashem is dafka when I felt sad or far away or things weren't working out, but I still felt like I could hold Hashem's hand. And those are those little signs, right, that Hashem is giving us, even during those darkest time periods. That's the tov, that's the lesson of Hanukkah. Okay? So that's lesson number two that I think about when I'm lighting my Hanukkah. Lesson number three. Okay, I want to tell you a little story. Here's my story. Then maybe we'll read a Shlomo piece. So, when I was in the army, I was so excited for Hanukkah. I was extremely excited to light Hanukkah candles. Yeah? Because our whole unit, we'd be together and we'd be singing and we're fighting for the sake of the Jewish people and then we'd light candles together. We're a religious unit. So, everyone's really excited about it, right? Now, I had a shift. We were going to light our first night of candles, and then I was supposed to do the Friday night shift to guard duty. Now, I knew what happens, and I was really excited about this, because Friday night, I get to sing and whatever, 4 hours of like chilling, and then I'd have to get my candles. They wake me up on Friday afternoon and say, "Keith, your shift has been switched. You have to go on now." And I realized at that moment, I would not have enough time to light candles and also make my shift on time. So I had to make a decision. Either light my candles, or get to my shift on time. So what decision should I have done? What do you think? Mipsah. What's up? Make the shift. Why?
Because you're dealing with the security of both of your units. And
okay, so you think you're dealing with the security of your unit. I mean, to be honest, my friend would still be on guard duty. It's not like no one was around. But, okay.
Something...
No, but again, nobody. So he was on his shift. It just, you know. Okay, but I hear what you're saying. It's still security. He should be well rested. What else? What do you guys think? Should I have made my shift or should I light my candles? What should you have Keith do?
I think it depends on how late you are to your shift. Like if it's an hour.
Well, I'll put it in this way and also. No, it would be five minutes. But yeah, the thing is, if I lit my candles, he wouldn't be able to light his candles because it would already be Shabbos. That was the thing. By the time he would get there, it would be Shabbos, and he wouldn't have a chance to light his Shabbos candles. So here's what I decided. I'd make my shift on time, and I didn't light candles. But on the way out, I told my friend to light for me, to have me in mind, and that, right? Afterwards, I was thinking about it. I had 4 hours to think about it, if I made the right decision or not.
Do you have to walk when you're on shift?
So no, it was just like, you just stare at nothing. So, yeah.
Are you like out in the open?
In this particular unit thing that I was doing, you're just on a little emda, a little post, and you just watch over it. Okay? So, I thought about it. What's the whole idea of lighting the Hanukkah candles? At the end of the day, it's lighting the Hanukkah candles to remind, if you ask me, it's all about reminding us of the gevura of the Maccabim, of the fact that Jewish people were willing to fight for something. They were willing to be moser nefesh and fight for the sake of the Jewish people. It's supposed to remind, lighting that to remind me that I should also have the koch to fight for the sake of the Jewish people. So what an idiot I would be if instead of actually going and fighting for the sake of the Jewish people and making my shift on time, I would go light a light which symbolizes how I should fight for the Jewish people. That wouldn't make any sense. Right? So, thank God, I think I made the right decision. But it reminded me of a beautiful Rosh Hashanah piece. So let's read through it real quick. And actually, I don't. You know what? I might need to steal yours. Do I have my own copy? It's okay. I'm gonna read. It's really like a 5 second piece. Don't really matter. Okay. Now you have it. Here you go. So it's a cute piece, but I think it's actually pretty deep. Today we started off talking about why the Kafei Kislev, and we gave the whole historical explanation of Chagai. There's another allusion to Hanukkah in the... What? By the way, this is where I used to light my Hanukkah candle. Right there. And everyone would pass by, because the first thing you started to see when you were in the... This is my old house. And this is Akinora music. Oh, this is the harp. where the guitar is. Okay, so now listen. Akshav takshiva davar lo yuman. Listen to something unbelievable. Avraham Avinu alechem Yitzchak lakedah unifrad meleizer vishma v'amar lehem shvu lachem poim chamor v'ani v'anar nechad ko. When Avram is on his way up to the Akedah, he tells Yishmael and Eliezer, you stay with the donkey, and me and the youth will go ad ko, until over there. Umrim ha-rabim, unumaz kan l'kafei b'kisaf. All the Hasidic rabbis say that Avram was alluding, or the Torah is alluding, ad ko, refers to what? Ad ko, what's kafei? What else is kafei, guys? Ad ko. The 25th, Chanukah. It's an allusion to Chanukah. Very cute, but what's the idea? Madu adavka Chanukah? Ki Chanukah hu achag shel mesiras nefesh. Chanukah is a holiday of self-sacrifice. In other words, what was Yitzchak Avinu doing? What was he willing to do? Sacrifice his life for the sake of the Jewish people, for the sake of God. He was the first Jew who was willing to die for his values. And maybe Avram too. So he represents the archetype, the person who represents the person who's willing to die for the sake of the Jewish people. So in his act of the Akedah is alluded Chanukah, which is also the fact that these people were willing to die for the sake of fighting for the sake of the Jewish people. And all the people in Jewish history who have been willing to fight for the sake of the Jewish people, they're drawing their strength from this, the Akedah. Okay? Now, just some beautiful imagery. There's a great Hasidic Rebbe. He made a prayer that you should say before you light candles. We're praying that we should take the same fire, inside fire, that the Chashmanaim were taking, or that Yitzchak was taking inside of himself in order to be Moser Nefesh, to fight for the sake of the Jewish people. We're praying that we also want to take that fire when we light our Hanukkah candles. Beautiful, no? Imagine a Maccabee screaming, going on his horse. You guys ever see Braveheart?
Yeah.
Like running. Right. We're going to war. That's the energy, that's the strength we should be thinking about when we're about to go light our candles. Okay? Gewalt. Imagine if we lit our candles in that light. What I want to do is on a practical level, though. Okay, I don't know if any of us or all of us are on that level to go fight for the Jewish people. I don't know if we're all going to join the army. I don't know. But what I challenge us to do, to start thinking about, is that maybe it's just one thing in our Judaism, one thing that we're willing to sacrifice for. We're willing to really, really put it all on the line. We're willing to take it a notch up on Chanukah. And I don't know if you'll think about it right now, but I'm challenging you tonight, when we're lighting the Chanukah candles, to think about Yitzchak, to think about the Maccabees and their passion, and to think, is there anything in our Yiddishkeit, in our Judaism, right, which I'm willing to really, really sacrifice for, which I'm willing to do something for the sake of the Jewish people. Because you're not willing to sacrifice for something, it's not real. I remember I was telling you guys before, when did I start falling in love with the land of Israel? Only when I was willing to sacrifice for it. Right? When you really love your wife or your girlfriend, when you're willing to sacrifice for it. Right? In fact, the truth is, marriage is a constant question of sacrifice. Or how much you're willing to sacrifice for the other person. Whatever. We'll do a marriage class another time to talk more about, but that's when you really, that's the true test. How much you're really willing to do it when it hurts, when it's hard. And maybe that's one of the lessons that we could think about when we're lighting our Hanukkah candles. Take that fire of the Maccabees and apply it to our own lives. Make sense? So that'll be your homework for tonight as you're lighting the Hanukkah candles. Bezrat Hashem. All right. A couple of more thoughts and then I'll send you back. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. So what else is cool about the fire? Let's share it. Two more big ideas. Okay. What's awesome about fire? What else am I thinking about when I'm lighting my Hanukkah candles? First of all, the cool thing about Hanukkah candles is that one fire can light another one, and another, and another, and another. And what's the effect that it has on the first candle? Nothing. doesn't take away from the first one at all. That's cool. There's not so many things that are like that in life. Most things you give, you lose. Fire's like that. So what does it represent? So here again, I'm going to teach you another Shlomo Torah. If you haven't noticed, I like teaching Shlomo Torah. I love his amazing ability to take simple ideas and make them beautiful ideas that are applicable to our lives. So he says like this. There's sometimes in life when you're doing nice things for someone else, but you don't really want to do that so much. And then what does it feel like? It feels like you're missing out. You're losing. Right? Let's say, I don't know, you really want to go play football for lunch. And then the Madrecha says, oh, I need help. Can you please help me do Torahnut? So you're like, I don't want to do it, but okay, fine. And you schlep it around. You're like, oh, are we done yet? Are we done yet? Right? I used to schlep my tables to the Rova Square for my meal. And I could tell there's some friends I would ask, and they loved doing it. They loved helping me. It was amazing, and I loved doing it with them. And then we came really close. The other times, I was schlepping tables, and I said, can I get help? And they're like, all right, fine. And they'd help me schlep it, but like at the end, we both wanted to have nothing to do with each other, right? Because their heart wasn't into it, yeah? So Shlomo says, when you're doing a chesed, a kindness to someone, if you're doing with all your heart, you still have it. In other words, if I have an apple, and I really want to give you an apple, you have that apple now, do I still have that apple? I still have that apple. I don't physically have that apple, but I'm happy I gave you that apple. I'm still connected to that apple. But if I didn't really want to give you that apple, I don't have that apple anymore. You got it? It's all about doing it with your whole heart. We even got a psh in there. It must have been a good one. I'll give you another example. Another true story. There's a blind man who lives in the Rova, and I can show you, if you guys want to take a little chesed too, I'm happy. He lives literally 2 minutes away. I visited him this morning. He's a Holocaust survivor. And the problem is, he was calling me a lot. And I would often, last year, visiting him, more out of guilt than out of true desire to give. Because, like, oh, how could I say no? But, like, it was becoming every day, I was getting resentful. And, yeah, I was giving to him, I was helping him give him food, I was spending a little time with him, but the whole time I was waiting, like, let me get out of here. I gotta go prepare a class, I gotta go do this, do that. Like, I don't want to do this, it's not fair, it's not right. I decided over the summer, I had a lot of time to think, that instead of doing it that way, I'm going to kovea twice a week, two times a week, I'm going to visit him, but when I'm there, I'm really there. I'm going to give him food, I'm going to talk some Torah, maybe only a half hour, but that half hour that I'm there for, you know, I'm really going to be there 100%. Otherwise, I can't. Emergencies, I'll go over, but... You guys want it, you can do it. He asked me to light Hanukkah candles. It's a pretty trippy experience to light with a blind man. Blind help. Anyways, so what's the idea? When you're doing something...
You have to do it.
It's machlokes, halachically. He does it. He does it. Somebody else does it with him without a bracha. It's interesting. Because is it a light for him or is it a light for other people? It's a good question. Anyways, but it's all... What's the lesson I'm trying to say? The lighting of the Shabbos candle, of the Hanukkah candles, is teaching you that when you're giving towards others with your whole heart, you're left intact. But when you're giving begrudgingly, not from the depth of your heart, a little bit here, a little bit there, doesn't. And the same with Judaism. If you're davening, but you don't really want to daven so much, you won't enjoy it, you're just getting it over with. But if you're there all fully, all out, during that 20 minutes of davening, during that benching, you really want to be into it, not only will you be doing a mitzvah, you're also going to enjoy it yourself. You're not losing. Okay, so the fire to me symbolizes this ability to go all out, 100% be in, and then you don't lose yourself. Okay. Last idea, Bezat Hashem, and then dismiss you guys, Bezat Hashem. Okay. So one more beautiful idea. This one, not a Rishonah, I just always think about it. Since I've been in camp, we always have to have bonfires in camp. And what I always noticed, that the fires would always be going up, right? The little sparks always going up. So to me, Ish, a ner in Judaism, is usually associated with, often associated with, the soul. And there's a pasuk in Mishlei which says that a soul is connected to a ner, a candle. That's why when someone dies, you light yahrzeit candles, right? And there's this idea. I'm sure you've heard this concept before. That our soul is like the wick of Hashem. That our soul is the fire. And to me, when I look at that Hanukkah candle, I'm just thinking to myself how my soul is always yearning upwards. In other words, It could be I don't know how to prove to you intellectually that there's a God and that Judaism is true. It could be I do. I don't know. I hope I do. But I don't know. But what I personally feel is that every neshama, every yid, naturally, without proof, without anything, is yearning upwards, is yearning for purpose, is yearning to connect to God, is yearning for meaning. And that's the fire. That's looking up. That's looking up. So when I'm looking into the candles, Rabbi Nachman says it's fixing my eyes, making my eyes see the world in a new way, making me see Eretz Yisrael in a new way. But it's also reminding me that my eyes should always be yearning up. Always, my, you know, wherever I am in life, that I should know that my soul is always striving to connect to Hashem, and then, okay, afterwards I have to figure out how my actions can go with that soul. But to know deep inside, my soul is always yearning to reconnect to its creator. God bless us to feel that this Hanukkah. So quick review, okay? 5-minute review of to put all the ideas together. And hopefully your homework will be to actually think about this in your Hanukkah lighting. Okay, we started off today talking about historical overview of Kafei Kislev, right? Of the meaning behind the Hanukkah menorah. That really is going back to the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah in the Second Temple. Right? Zechariah is prophecy of the menorah representing spirituality. Okay? How the Shekhinah coming back to Hashem. And that it was a fulfillment. The Maccabees viewed themselves as fulfilling this promise. And that the miracle of the oil was not just a miracle, but it was Hashem putting his stamp of approval and saying, Gevalt. Saying, this is my Shekhinah returning to you, and this is a challenge. I need to bring the Shekhinah back, which is still the challenge of the Jewish people, even to this day. But then we talked a little bit about Hanukkah and how it is that God has, you know, we don't win every war, but still Hanukkah has a message. And what's the message that Hanukkah has for us? Who remembers? It's true that we don't win everything and things don't always work out in life, but what does Hanukkah remind us of? That Hashem is always with us. Right, he's still there with us. Yeah, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but Hanukkah was during the darkest time period, reminding us that Hashem is always with us. Okay. Finally, we ended the class reminding ourselves of all the different symbolism of fire, of the gvura of the Maccabees, the gvura of fighting for the sake of the Jewish people, of how we want to remind ourselves that we want to be willing to sacrifice for something for the Jewish people, and of the fire yearning above, like our souls yearning above, and then the fire that is always willing to give towards others, and that therefore is never extinguished. Bezat Hashem, Yizoche to stare at the candles and then the music. Hope you enjoyed. Hanukkah Sameach. Welcome to.